Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Whoa, Elon Musk just made a huge move. Wait till you hear where Tesla's going. I'm Shepard Smith. This is the news on CNBC.
Vaccines for kids. Pfizer seeks approval for younger children. But when could we start seeing shots going into little arms? 18 former NBA players indicted in a massive healthcare fraud scheme.
In total, defendants have attempted to bill the insurance plan of close to $4 million.
The details, the charges, and how officials say the athletes got caught. The search for Brian Laundry. His family's lawyer has a new statement on his whereabouts as Brian's father joins the manhunt.
The song blew up.
Walker Hayes on his hit song,
Fancy Life.
His brand new remix with Kesha. What it's done for Applebee's sales.
The Oreo shake.
And the viral explosion that almost never happened.
It was my daughter's idea.
A new cyber gang on the rise. Fixing our broken global supply chain. And the big business of launching low-cost satellites into space.
Live from CNBC. The facts. The truth. The news with Shepard Smith.
Shots for kids. Here we go. Pfizer is officially asking the FDA to approve its vaccine for children as young as five. For a lot of parents, that is huge news. And frankly, it's great for the whole world. The company submitted a request for emergency use authorization today. The FDA approves it. 28 million more kids will be eligible for the vaccine. Right now, it's approved only for 12 and up. Regulators are promising to move quickly on the request. They say they set a meeting for October 26 to consider it. At the end of September, children made up more than a quarter of reported weekly COVID-19 cases. The Pfizer request comes as President Biden is pushing more businesses to put vaccine mandates into place. Sure, he argued today outside Chicago that mandates work and most Americans support them.
Report shows that vaccination requirements have broad public support. Yes, some object, and some object very strenuously. And some are making a political statement out of this issue. But a strong bipartisan majority of Americans support vaccinations. They know it isn't about politics. It's about life and death.
A recent Gallup poll shows a majority does favor President Biden's plan to mandate that millions of U.S. workers get vaccinated. 60% say they support the federal worker mandate. The number's nearly the same for companies with 100 or more employees. CNBC's Kayla Tausche. Now, Kayla, polls are one thing. Actual vaccinations, that's another. How's the president's plan looking?
Well, Shep, he's trying to get more companies on board because the quarter of American companies with a vaccine requirement have seen their vaccination rate skyrocket. That's a point President Biden drove home today outside Chicago, visiting with lawmakers and the CEO of United Airlines, which has seen nearly all of its 67,000 employees get the shot after an early August mandate. Biden says more businesses should follow suit.
My message is require your employees to get vaccinated. With vaccinations, we're going to beat this pandemic finally. Without them, we face endless months of chaos in our hospitals, damage to our economy, and anxiety in our schools, and empty restaurants, and much less commerce.
On the eve of new jobs data, the White House says vaccinations are key to economic growth and getting people back to work, citing 3 million people not working because they fear infection, nearly 5 million people not working because they are caring for someone with COVID or sick themselves, and 2 million people whose employer is temporarily closed because of the pandemic. For the president, it's also key with voters. An ABC Ipsos poll found his approval rating in handling the pandemic had fallen 15 percentage points since March. Here's Press Secretary Jen Psaki defending his flagging support.
Well, we think it's more a reflection of people being sick and tired of COVID. Tired, some of that is a reflection of people who are vaccinated being frustrated that there is still a percentage of the population who are not vaccinated, and that's impacting their daily lives.
Federal workers have just a few weeks to comply with the government mandate. Workers must get their final shot by November 8th to be considered fully vaccinated by November 22nd. Shep?
Kayla, thanks. Health officials sending a clear message to Americans. Get your flu shot to avoid what they're calling a twindemic. The head of the CDC warning today of a possible severe flu season on top of the continuing COVID crisis.
The low level of flu activity last season could set us up for a severe season this year. Why? Well, because so little disease last year, population immunity is likely lower, putting us all at increased risk for disease this year, especially among those most vulnerable.
It makes sense, right? Flu cases dropped to unprecedented low levels over the pandemic. CDC reported only about 2,000 cases of flu last season out of 1.3 million specimens tested. Here's some context. There were nearly 40 million cases during the previous season before the pandemic. But with schools and businesses reopening, health officials say flu season could put an additional strain on hospitals, hospitals that are already struggling with COVID. We'll hear from Dr. Peter Hotez on that and the Pfizer COVID vaccine for kids. First, CNBC's Meg Terrell on flu season. Meg?
Well, Shep, it's October, so that means pumpkins, costumes, and flu vaccines. That was the message from infectious disease doctors today, who warned that it's typically after we all get together for Thanksgiving that flu starts to take off. So they say now is the time to get the flu shot to start building up protection. Of course, flu was almost non-existent last year, completely dwarfed by COVID. As you can see from CDC data showing deaths caused by both diseases over the last few years. Those little blue lines, that's flu. Orange is COVID. Now, health experts say the distancing, masking, and other measures we took because of the pandemic reduced the spread of flu, particularly closing schools. But as those measures lift, we're likely to see that bug start to spread again. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky also cautioning that the return of other respiratory viruses that we've seen over the last few months, like RSV, contributing to overwhelmed pediatric ICUs, could be a warning sign for what's to come this winter. The agency says flu shot manufacturers are projected to ship a record number of doses to the U.S. this year, up to 200 million. Last year, they say just more than half of eligible Americans, everybody 6 months and up, got vaccinated. Among kids, coverage declined to less than 60% as they fell behind on routine doctor's visits, while coverage rose slightly among adults. Health officials acknowledging many have heard the flu shot isn't perfect. Its effectiveness reaches about 60% in the best seasons, but they emphasize it dramatically lowers hospitalizations and deaths from flu. And they say you can get the flu shot at the same time as a COVID booster. Most likely, they give you one at each arm. Shep?
Meg, thanks. Dr. Peter Hotez now, pediatrician, co-director of the Center for Vaccine Development at Texas Children's Hospital. Doctor, great to see you. You heard Meg there. What's your biggest concern about this possibility of a twindemic? Is this real?
Yeah, I think Meg kind of put her finger on it. You know, I think what's happened is everyone's a bit spooked about what happened with RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, where we had this massive resurgence at a weird time of year that we ordinarily wouldn't see it in the summer. And the thinking was the kids weren't interacting much, and therefore they didn't have built up much immunity to RSV. And then they all got exposed as they started getting together with devastating consequences. So we even had a lot of combined RSV and COVID co-infections in pediatric ICUs and pediatric hospitals over the summer here in the South. So they don't want to see that happen again with influenza. So the message is get your influenza vaccine in addition to your COVID vaccine, and you can get them at the same time. And so getting that word out, I think, is going to be really important.
Got it last month. Don't wait. Now the COVID vaccine for of the news of the day. What do you tell parents who got the vaccine but may still be hesitant about giving shots to their younger kids?
Well, I think the other, you know, there's a narrative out there that's false, Shep. You know, the narrative has been that this is an illness that's exclusively of older Americans, those over the age of 70 or 80. And we learned with this Delta variant over the summer. Well, it was never true, and it became more apparent than ever over the summer with this Delta variant. I don't think the virus is necessarily targeting the kids. It's just that it was a massive firestorm because there were so many unvaccinated Americans with this highly transmissible Delta variant. So we have 30,000 hospitalizations of of children so far.
Wow.
And 500 deaths. And that's a lot. And so the key now is, and not to mention all the long COVID effects of kids, which we're just beginning to get our arms around. So the need is apparent. And watch out for that misinformation, because the other piece of disinformation that you're hearing is that we're only vaccinating kids to protect the adults, and that kids are fine, and we're only using them as kind of cannon fodder to protect the adults. And it's nonsense. Kids need to get that vaccination. And so it's really good news. And hopefully shortly after Halloween, it'll be released to the public. But once again, I think we're going to see a lot of variability and uptake of the vaccine for the 5 to 11-year-olds. Here's why. So in the northern states, up in the Northeast, we're hitting 75-80% of the teenagers 12 to 17 being vaccinated. That's a sign that parents are going to be ready to vaccinate their younger kids as well, most likely, as opposed to where I am in the South, where you're looking at maybe 35 to 40% of the adolescents vaccinated. That's a sign that a lot of parents may be reluctant to vaccinate their little kids as
well.
Hope
they aren't. Hope not. Dr. Hotez, thanks so much. You know, they actually got something done in Washington today. Senate leaders sealed the deal to raise the debt ceiling and prevent economic catastrophe. It's temporary, but it's something. We're expecting a vote later this hour on a short-term compromise that would increase the debt limit until early December. The offer came from the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. He backed down, sort of, after blocking votes to raise the ceiling, blocking them despite multiple warnings that failure to do so would tank the economy, rock the markets, cost countless jobs, and start another recession. Time's running out. There it is. The Senate has just 11 days left before the United States defaults on its debts for the first time in history. Accusations of wire fraud and falsifying insurance claims. More than a dozen ex-NBA players accused of a major scam of the league and taking them for millions. Wait till you hear the reason that prosecutors say they got caught. After weeks out of the public view, Brian Laundrie's father all of a sudden joins the FBI search for his son. But why now? And is he talking? And a federal judge temporarily blocks that Texas abortion law. How long the pause could last? Plus, why a judge called the law a scheme.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The feds are accusing 18 former NBA players of scamming the league out of millions of dollars. Federal prosecutors say these former players submitted false insurance claims to get massive payouts on medical and dental procedures that they never got. The details are crazy. 19 people charged with conspiracy to commit health care fraud and wire fraud, one of them a former player's wife. They say the defendant submitted nearly $4 million in false claims and were paid out about $2.5 million. Some of the bigger names in the case, Glenn Big Baby Davis. He won a title with the Celtics. And the former Coney Island High School sensation, Sebastian Telfair. And Darius Miles. He was the third overall pick in the 2000 draft. They're all caught up in this. Prosecutors say part of the reason they got caught, they were sloppy. Very sloppy. One example. They say Greg Smith, who played for the Rockets, submitted a claim for $48,000 for IVs and a root canal, some crowns, all in Beverly Hills. The problem was, he wasn't even in California the day of the procedure. He was in Taiwan playing ball. The feds say they have the travel record, the emails, and publicly available box scores to prove it. And there's more. CNBC's Valerie Castro has it. This list of stuff they did is, I mean, it's the prosecutor stuff, innocent until proven guilty, but wow.
It seems endless, Shep. Yeah. And there was an alleged ringleader of this whole scheme who was named at the very top of the indictment. Terrence Williams, who played on multiple teams, including the New Jersey Nets, is accused of directing other former players in this fraud, and he allegedly benefited from their payouts. The grand jury indictment filed in the Southern District of New York alleges Williams recruited other plan participants to defraud the plan by offering to supply them with false invoices to support their false and fraudulent claims to the plan in exchange for the payment of kickbacks to Williams. It goes on to say many of the defendants paid Williams kickbacks totaling at least approximately $230,000. Federal prosecutors say former players submitted false claims for chiropractic, dental, and wellness services ranging from $65,000 to as much as $420,000. Authorities say evidence like travel records and GPS data put them far from the supposed provider on the date they claimed to be there. Others submitted identical claims on the same dates that also raised suspicion, along with typos and forms that were not on official letterhead.
Three of the charged defendants, Ronald Glenn Davis, Anthony Roten, and Anthony Allen, purportedly had root canals on the same 6 teeth on April 30, 2016, and crowns on the same 6 teeth on May 11, 2016.
Williams is also accused of impersonating a health plan employee to intimidate another player when he wouldn't pay the kickback. And Shep, as of this hour, NBC News is still trying to reach the players and their attorneys, but haven't received any comment just yet. One of the accused players, Sebastian Telfair, who you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. he has already pleaded not guilty in federal court.
All right. This is just getting started. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know, they just added another person to the search team for Brian Laundrie. None other than Brian Laundrie's father, Chris. He's been refusing to speak publicly all this time, and now he's on the search team all of a sudden. The manhunt's now in its third week after the FBI issued an arrest warrant for Brian Laundrie for debit card fraud. Authorities have been scouring the Carlton Reserve near Venice, Florida, where his family said Brian was last headed on Monday, September the 13th. The Laundrie family attorney telling CNBC that today Chris Laundrie accompanied members of law enforcement into the reserve to show them the trails and places Chris and Brian have hiked, and which Brian was known to frequent. No discoveries, he says, but the effort was helpful to all. Again, from the Laundrie lawyer. He went on to say, the water level is going down in that swampy 25,000-acre reserve, and that certain areas are more accessible to search. He says, hopefully, Brian will be located soon. A federal judge has temporarily blocked the Texas ban on nearly all abortions after 6 weeks, including cases of rape and incest. The judge siding with the Biden administration after the Justice Department sued Texas over that law. In the judge's decision, he says the sweeping abortion ban in Texas unlawfully prevents women from exercising control over their lives in ways that are protected by the Constitution. That from the judge. Abortions have now resumed in some clinics, but it's unclear how long the block will last. Texas has already indicated it will appeal, which would head to an appeals court that already rejected a request from abortion clinics to block the law. The real estate market. Buying a home's hard enough, but renovating and reselling? Forget about it. Coming up, how to avoid flipping or flopping while you're flipping. Missed that one. Elon Musk saying goodbye to Silicon Valley. This is brand new tonight. Why the world's richest man is moving Tesla to Austin, Texas. And that what that means for his massive car plant in California.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At least four people, including a four-year-old girl, killed in flash flooding in Alabama. Firefighters say they rescued a woman and a young boy from the top of this van. Happened in Arab, Alabama, about 40 minutes south of Huntsville. The young girl still strapped inside her car seat when the van got swept away. The body of an 18-year-old recovered from a car in a separate incident just this morning. About 90 minutes further south, search and rescue teams found the bodies of a 23-year-old man and woman. Police say they tried to drive through the flooded road, and they were swept away. Dozens more people rescued from homes and cars. Officials up and down the state of Alabama say this was the worst flash flooding they've seen in years. We got late word in just the last hour from Elon Musk. He's pulling the trigger on a major decision. Musk says he's moving Tesla's headquarters from Silicon Valley to Austin. The announcement made at Tesla's annual meeting. CNBC's Phil LeBeau covers cars for us. Phil, he threatened this, but, you know, it sounded like just a threat, but it's not.
It's not a threat. And I think a lot of people are not surprised to see that Tesla is moving its headquarters from Fremont, California, or in the Silicon Valley area, down to Texas. And here's the reason why. Musk has he's clashed at times with regulators and officials in California over the years. He then moved last year, selling his houses in California, and he's essentially relocated down to the Austin area. And so it's not a surprise that they're moving the headquarters down there. In fact, during the annual meeting, what was interesting is they have a graphic that they showed during the live stream of the event. Basically look like a sheriff's badge with the Tesla logo in the middle. That's one indication that they're moving that headquarters down to Austin.
What about his original plant, the one in the Bay Area? Is that staying or going?
Right. It's staying. In fact, they're planning to expand production at that plant by at least 50%. I've been out there a number of times, Shep. Look, they're landlocked. There is not a whole lot of space, not just for car production, but also for offices out there. So I'm not surprised that they finally said, we need a little elbow room, and Musk likes what he sees down in Texas.
I mean, they've got to love this in Texas. I mean, especially Austin, what an incredible place. But in Silicon Valley, yep, this is a blow, isn't it?
It is a blow. They're still going to have facilities out there, R&D facilities out there, battery R&D facilities out there. So it's not like they're completely abandoning California. At the same time, this is not a case where Tesla leaving is going to make people say, oh, man, this is the death knell for the Silicon Valley.
Right.
I mean, look, Oracle has moved its headquarters to Texas. Hewlett-Packard Enterprises. We've seen this before.
You don't mess with them. Thank you, Phil. Now, John Rufo. He's been on the run for more than 25 years, evading the feds, climbing up the most wanted list, but then a possible sighting at a baseball game. See this? See that right there? The mystery at Dodger Stadium just got cracked. And new information about a dangerous new ransomware gang, and it has one specific target in mind. That's next as we get to the bottom of the hour and the top of the news on CNBC. So the one thing harder than buying a home these days might be trying to flip one. Most will try to upgrade a house to make a little profit here and there. Kitchens and bathrooms, fresh coat of paint. But lately everything's just so much more expensive than normal. Material supplies are low and prices are high. And a run on housing is making the competition fierce. The pandemic brought house flipping to a standstill, but now there are signs of life. CNBC's real estate correspondent, Diana Olick, explains.
Deb Cleveland has been flipping houses in New York State for over 30 years and says she's never seen a market like this.
You're getting anywhere from $15,000 to as much as $50,000 more for these fix and flips because the market has so drastically changed.
Demand is soaring and supply is incredibly low. So while flipper returns are higher, it's harder to do.
You used to be able to get away with just cleaning a house and painting it and doing some small upgrades. Well, that's no longer what the buyer wants. I focus on the first-time home buyer, and when we buy a house, we go from tip to toe.
Close to 80,000 single-family homes and condos were flipped in the second quarter of this year, nearly 5% of all sales. That's lower than what we've seen in the past decade, but it was the first increase in flipping in more than a year. While the average gross profit on a flip rose about 3% from a year ago, the net return fell to a decade low because of higher renovation costs.
What's happening with material, it's the cost not only has gone up, but the delivery time has expanded. It used to be anywhere, I'd be able to get a kitchen inside of 3 weeks. And now it's taking me anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks.
The return was 33.5% compared with the original acquisition price. That's down from around 41% in 2020. Cleveland advises flippers today to watch material costs closely and go the extra mile to find the best opportunities in this super pricey market.
If you start looking and know how to find properties off market that are not listed with an agent, that's where you're still going to find the lower prices.
Of course, with more flippers coming back to the market, mostly using all cash, prices are likely to stay inflated. The realtors, in fact, just reported a surge in investor sales in August and a pullback in sales of first-time buyers. And, of course, the first-time buyers mostly need mortgages. Shep.
Diana, thanks. The airline betting on a holiday travel surge. That's what's topping CNBC on the money. United planning to ramp up its December schedule to 3,500 domestic flights a day. That is a pandemic high, and it would be about 91% of the number of flights it flew back in 2019. The reason? United says there is strong holiday demand. The Chicago-based airline reports flight searches on its website are up 16% from pre-pandemic levels. If you chug energy drinks to get a jolt, your wallet may soon be getting one, too. Analysts suggesting the price of energy drinks like Red Bull could go way up. Two things, aluminum prices are increasing 40%, and sugar, those drinks are full of sugar, it's up 33%. Analysts say the companies may pass those prices on to consumers to protect profits. And a new drink you can take out to the ball game and root for the home team. Pepsi releasing a Cracker Jack flavored cola to celebrate October baseball. PepsiCo describes the drink as a taste of Pepsi Cola with a nostalgic blend of caramel popcorn and peanut flavors. Like a box of Cracker Jack, the drink also includes a prize. Each 12-ounce can will have peel-off temporary tattoos. Cracker Jack flavored Pepsi. The things they do. On Wall Street, the Dow up 338, S&P up 36, NASDAQ up 152. I'm Shepard Smith on CNBC. It's the bottom of the hour. Time for the top of the news.
The supply chain in crisis. Americans struggling to get their hands on just about everything. Tonight, an inside look at the problem from start to finish. The final business frontier, space. And we're not talking tourism. How companies are making big bucks looking down on Earth. But first, the scope of Russia's hacking revealed.
Microsoft reports Moscow was behind nearly 60% of all state-sponsored hacks that it detected over the last year. It's the Russians. Most of those cyber attacks targeted government agencies and think tanks in the United States. There's a disturbing new report about what hackers were able to get. Reuters reports the massive SolarWinds and Microsoft hacks that breached multiple federal agencies exposed sensitive information about counterintelligence investigations. We're now hearing about a new and dangerous ransomware gang emerging on the hacking scene. They apparently have no qualms at all about targeting hospitals. CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers on the top story at the bottom of the hour. You've been looking into this group. What have you found?
Shep, that's right. There's a new bad guy in the cybersecurity cast of characters tonight. It's being called Fin12. And the cybersecurity company Mandiant says it's one of the most dangerous hacking groups in the world, going after some of the biggest companies in the United States and bringing in tens of millions of dollars a month in ransom from its helpless targets.
I think these actors are probably the worst ransomware actors that we track. They do a great deal of the actual incidents that we see. But the other reason is they're targeting critical infrastructure, particularly the healthcare sector in the middle of a pandemic, which is just too far. And even some of their peers won't do this.
The Russian-speaking group has been active since 2018, and they're known for prioritizing speed and big ransom payouts, demanding as much as $25 million for companies to get their own data back. And they get those big scores by going after the biggest targets. Victim companies have had an average annual revenue of $6 billion. And overwhelmingly, their victims have been located in North America. At a time when many hacker groups say they won't target hospitals due to the pandemic, Mandiant says a full 20% of Fin12's victims have been in the healthcare industry.
And these guys move fast. The average time it takes from hack to ransom payout for most of these groups is over 12 days. But for Fin12, it's just 2.5 days. That means they're getting in, locking down the data, and getting away with the money faster than just about any group out there. This is the first time they've been named publicly. Unlike other criminal hacker gangs that give themselves those scary names like R Evil, well, Fin12 likes to stay below the radar. And they did, until today's show.
Wow. Amen. Thank you. It's clear we now live in a world where phones, cars, and smartwatches track everything we do. You can't avoid it. And that's a huge problem for the CIA. Think about it. Technology is apparently making it way too easy for our adversaries to uncover American spies and informants all over the world. That's according to Duane Norman. He's a now former CIA officer who studied this issue for the agency. He says traditional spycraft that CIA's been using for decades has become obsolete.
The idea that you can move about in that world anonymously, or that you can conceal your activities in your associations, I think is greatly diminished. I would argue virtually impossible today.
He says data tracking makes it so much harder for a spy to pose as, say, a diplomat or a business executive. Foreign intelligence agencies can easily see that person's movements and associations, any deviations. It really gives them up. It's also hard for Americans who've grown up posting photos on social media to then operate under an alias in China. After all, there's that massive network of surveillance cameras with facial recognition. It's a huge problem. Let's bring in Amaryllis Fox, a former CIA clandestine service officer herself. Amaryllis, thanks so much. Are the old cloak and dagger days just done? I mean, is espionage a digital arena now?
You know, Shep, I think it's actually quite the opposite. Oh. I think that what we see in the technology arena, you know, technology plays a role in enhancing our intelligence picture for sure. But the idea that wiretaps and satellite imagery alone can provide the information this country needs to keep itself safe is really just a fantasy. I mean, for at least the last 20 years, our adversaries from terror groups to the governments in China and Russia have all known not to plan sensitive operations on their comms. You know, the notion that technology would allow us to have a complete picture, unfortunately, is just not true. And when we think about what is useful in intelligence gathering, it's not the information that we get through technology, which is what is happening now, what is immediately about to happen. In the spy business, about to happen is too late. Right. What we need are intentions and motivations and plans days, weeks, months, sometimes years out. And it's almost impossible to do that without human relationships on the ground.
But quickly, though, the New York Times reports that the CIA is really worried about the growing number of informants that it's losing. The paper reports dozens of CIA assets have been captured, killed, or compromised. How big of a concern really is this?
You know, I think that it has been a concern over the time that we've had our military occupation in Iraq and Afghanistan. We've seen administration after administration ask the CIA to divert covert officers from the traditional spycraft, the chalk marks and surveillance detection and dead drops that you see in the films that are all designed to keep officers and their sources safe and alive, to more military covert action type work where they're used to operating with convoys of Humvees and drones in the sky above them, which mean make them a lot less safe when they actually get out into other countries and have to do their work. So I think now that we're seeing those military interventions wind up, we'll see CIA officers be able to get back to the work that they were originally hired to do, which is building human relationships overseas using that clandestine tradecraft in order to keep this country safe.
Amaryllis Fox, thanks so much. Look at this. See the man four rows behind home plate there? He's balding, white, blue shirt, normal enough looking mustache. Just one out of about 50,000 people at this particular Dodgers-Red Sox game back in 2016. And for the last 48 hours, authorities have been publicizing this picture. It's in the papers, it's on the web. The authorities said they believe this could be one of America's most wanted fugitives. Officials with the U.S. Marshals Service said he strongly resembled this man, John Rufo, a New York City swindler convicted of one of the largest bank fraud schemes in U.S. history and has eluded authorities for more than a quarter century. It was an audacious, Hollywood-worthy scam. Rufo and a partner pretended they were working on a top-secret project for Philip Morris, right, on smokeless cigarettes. With a fake company seal and a forged signature, they managed to convince seven different foreign and domestic banks to lend them $350 million. In 1996, Rufo got found out. Somebody contacted Philip Morris and realized none of it was real. So the FBI swooped in, sentenced him to 17 and a half years in prison. But that's not where the story ends. The day he was supposed to report to prison, Rufo instead rented a car, hit an ATM, and drove to JFK Airport and hasn't been seen since, until authorities thought at that Dodgers game. But now we know, it turns out, it wasn't he. U.S. Marshals today located and fingerprinted that Dodgers fan and determined he's not their man. And John Rufo is still on the lam. Satellites. They beam your favorite show into your home. They help guide planes and boats. But companies also use them to track climate change. And in one case, uncover suspected nuclear silos in China. NBC's Jake Ward on the space race to solve some of Earth's biggest problems. James Bond, no stranger to tough missions, but bringing people back to the box office? CNBC's Seema Modi live in New York City, where tonight the world's top spy is finally back on the big screen. New volcano activity just started on Spain's Canary Islands. Look at this. These are live pictures of the island of La Palma, and this just started. Lava shooting out of that volcano, the huge plumes of smoke and ash forcing the airport to shut down again. This is the third week of eruption. That is incredible. Look at the very center of the screen. Crazy. And to have these live pictures is insane. And when I say that this just started, I mean it. It started just minutes ago. And we've been watching these live pictures over the last commercial break. It's incredible. The lava has already destroyed more than 600 homes, forced more than 6,000 people to evacuate, and it is still going. We'll keep an eye on it throughout this news hour. Empty shelves, items on back order, prices way up. We've told you all about the supply chain issues that are facing the whole world, and tonight, we're going to show it to you in a special way from start to finish, using four reporters over more than 7,000 miles apart on the production and distribution of one product, this Care Bear. We begin where the whole process begins, in central China. Here's CNBC's Eunice Yoon.
Sometimes Santa enlists the help of factories like this one making Care Bears. But Santa's helpers are facing a host of problems. A stronger yuan, higher wages, and pricier stuffing, raising the cost to make each bear by 25% this year alone. Ahead of Christmas, the bears are stacked here for 1 to 2 months compared to no waiting time before the pandemic, when there were plenty of ships and hands on deck. Once a bear leaves the factory, it takes 15 to 20 days to arrive at a U.S. port like L.A. Having these products stuck in China is just the beginning.
By the time those goods make it here to the West Coast, they're going to sit on these ships here at the Port of Los Angeles for 10 days before they can get in and get an appointment to be unloaded. There are 65 of these ships out here today right now. How come the longshoremen aren't working 24/7?
Our men and women are willing to work 24/7. The problem is, where do those truckers, and it's not their fault, where do they take their cargo?
Ships wait because trucks aren't coming, because warehouses are full.
It's like bringing 10 lanes of freeway traffic into five.
Right now, there are 650,000 containers full of goods, either on these ships or sitting on the docks waiting for someone, anyone, to bring them to you.
Railways to move containers like these from L.A. to here in Chicago, now more than 200% higher than they were back in 2019. Half of the Care Bears will stop in Chicago on their way east of the Mississippi. But now these transfer points are backed up and containers delayed because there's not enough workers or equipment to haul them away.
Chassis availability, driver shortage, labor shortages across the supply system that is really causing the problems.
Also, trucking rates are 91% higher than they were pre-pandemic, making the trip to retailers more expensive and take longer.
It can take twice as long for a product like this Care Bear to get from a Chinese factory to this Learning Express store in Bedford, Massachusetts. The journey cost Toymaker Basic Fun 620% more.
We're adding a freight surcharge at the end of the invoice, and the retailer will have to determine whether they incorporate that into their selling price.
This toy store is selling Care Bears for $16.99, and they have enough inventory for now.
The supply chain issues are very real. We are seeing that it's taking weeks to months to get product into the store. And so we encourage you to buy now if you see something that you want to give this Christmas.
This Learning Express store did place its holiday Care Bear order in June, finally receiving them in September. But quite a few of the other toys featured in the holiday catalog still aren't here yet and likely won't be in time for Christmas. Care Bear maker Basic Fun doesn't anticipate the issues to resolve until at least mid-2022, leaving plenty of time for prices to go up. Shep?
Courtney and company, thank you. Lately, outer space has been the playground for billionaires, right? Tesla's Elon Musk, Amazon's founder Jeff Bezos, Virgin Galactic's Richard Branson, all of them blasting off or planning to. But critics, including Bill Gates, have said instead of trying to escape a dying planet on a spaceship, we got to do stuff here on Earth. And one company is trying to turn that very idea on its head. It's using space technology to solve human problems, from geopolitics to climate change. Here's NBC's Jake Ward.
Why is data from space so valuable? Well, think about it this way. If you're an agricultural company looking to make farms more productive, you could put up a drone and scan a couple hundred acres to see which plants look dry, sure. Or you could buy imagery from a satellite that can see 700 million acres for about 100 times less money. Affordable daily satellite imagery is also a vital weapon against climate change. Why? Because until now, we just didn't have enough data to see the change happening in real time.
We can't stop deforestation if we're only measuring it every year, if the deforestation happens on days. Same with emissions, same with agriculture, and same with all of these things. You need data on the time scale of change to take care of it.
The principle of Planet is that anyone, aside from terrorist organizations and embargoed nations, can buy these images. Clients can even task a handful of these larger satellites with special jobs and keep the footage exclusive for a period of time. Academics and private sector analysts using these satellites have pulled huge geopolitical threats into the public eye that previously only an intelligence agency would have known about.
We found a set of about 100 nuclear weapons silos in China that were previously undisclosed. That's important, you know, deal, of course. We actually found them in our scanning fleet and then took a closer look with these.
And that was you selling that imagery to...
In this
US
case, think tanks that were taking a look at it. No, so not the government.
Not even the government was buying it.
Yeah.
The CEO, Will Marshall, there, Shep, believes that this more transparent world is a good thing. But it begs the question, what is the role of NASA in a world like this? Well, NASA is going to do the important stuff that does not make money. For instance, this week they announced that next month they'll be sending up a probe that will experiment whether NASA can knock an asteroid off course for future planetary defense. That is what NASA's for. But here's the thing, Shep. This is also going up in a SpaceX rocket. Shep?
Jake, thank you. And you can stream more of Jake's reporting tonight on Meet the Press Reports, 9 o'clock Eastern on NBC News Now. James Bond on a final mission to save the U.S. box office. After more than a year of delays, the movie No Time to Die is finally hitting theaters tonight in America. This is one of the blockbusters that the industry has really been waiting for. The Wall Street Journal putting it bluntly, theaters are counting on James Bond's heroics. The timing couldn't be better for the box office with COVID cases trending down. So the question now is, can the world's favorite spy pull it off? CNBC Seema Modi live outside the AMC Theater in New York City's Lincoln Square. Seema, Daniel Craig telling fans this is one movie you got to see on the big screen.
And, Shep, for those die-hard James Bond fans, they're coming to this theater because, you know what? They've got one of those huge IMAX screens. And I can tell you the 7:45 p.m. showing nearly sold out. We're talking 600 seats, a few left, and it's only Thursday. Now, a lot of people telling me this isn't just a movie, Seema. This is a cultural phenomenon, a franchise that has maintained its relevance in pop culture for 60 years. That, along with Daniel Craig's dashing looks, those rock-hard abs, that cheeky smile, they are here for all of it. And a lot of viewers say this is their first movie in a theater since the pandemic, thanks to the theater's vaccine policy.
I've been waiting for this movie for about the last, 2 years since they announced it.
I would not be here if they weren't, checking the vaccine thing. And you don't take that kind of chance when you're my age, you know?
Because we haven't seen a James Bond movie for a long time. Haven't seen many movies in a long time. So we're doing this and then having Japanese food. What a day, right?
No Time to Die, shattering ticket sales records across the Atlantic. In the UK, the biggest movie premiere since the pandemic. Universal says the 25th James Bond movie has already collected around $121 million. Movie theaters here are hoping that this film will attract big crowds and give the theaters a big success, and also hoping that Bond, James Bond, of course, delivers a lot of attraction for this industry that has struggled because of the pandemic, Shep.
Save the movies. Seema, thank you. Cows on the loose. A herd of more than 70 cows wandering around homes and streets in Holden, Massachusetts, about an hour west of Boston. No idea how they got out or where they were going.
I just heard the mooing, like, really loud, so I looked out the window and I saw them all going up the street.
But they did leave some party favors.
They're mooing and they're pooing and they're peeing. It was pretty entertaining, actually.
Entertaining. Along with some minor property damage. One cow popped the pool cover in a family's backyard.
One of them wanted to swim,
but couldn't. The cow's owner says the herd traveled about a mile from their home. He's bucking the blame on the great cow escape, says he has no idea how the cows got out of their gated enclosure, and that the farm plans to boost security with cameras and reinforced locks. Moo. You like country music? I've learned to. Plenty of country songs about love and mama and pickups. True many. But there's only one about date nights and Applebee's with Oreo shakes and a Bourbon Street steak. Two straws, one check. Fancy-like. We are Walker. Walker Hayes sings it. Guy from Lower Alabama. Song of the summer, no doubt, and going strong into the fall with a new music video that dropped today, adding star power and a lot of love from TikTok. Next, we'll hear from Walker Hayes on his viral sensation. The country singer Walker Hayes. A few months ago, he had some modest hits to his name. Today, he released a music video with Kesha for Fancy Like, a remix. Everyone knows this song. It's everywhere on TikTok. Number one on Billboard's Hot Country Songs chart for 12 consecutive weeks. See, Hayes didn't need a pop star or a radio station to break through. Instead, all those things came after. Welcome to 2021, where this is how you go viral. Yeah, we fancy like
Applebee's on a date night. The song blew up. That just doesn't happen to my songs. That's odd. Top two straws,
one check, girl, I got you. Walker Hayes' hit song, Fancy Like, skyrocketing to the top of the music charts. And Walker says it all happened by accident. You were locked down in COVID and looking for a distraction when you wrote the song. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, we were preparing for a new EP release. Fancy Like was literally the last song we wrote for the project. I recorded it at home, turned it in. My team went insane. They went nuts. Fancy Like.
The recording from in your home is the one I hear on the radio.
If you isolate the vocals on that track, you will probably hear either my dog Hazel barking, my wife turning the water on and off in the kitchen because my office is right next to the kitchen. I mean, I recorded that vocal the night we wrote the song. Didn't really fix it or anything, just turned it in and everybody went crazy.
They went crazy for the song and then for the dance.
But it feels built for TikTok. That's a whole nother accident. Two straws, one
check, girl, I got you. A TikTok explosion. More than 700,000 videos and counting.
It was my daughter's idea to make the dance for Fancy Like. It was one Sunday. We came home from church. She says, yo, Dad, Fancy Like needs a dance. An hour later, we had kind of created it together.
Well, everyone at every Applebee's is doing it.
I've seen Shaquille O'Neal. I've seen Amy Adams doing it on Seth Meyers.
Like Applebee's on a date night.
Next came the corporate sponsor.
We're very thankful for Walker Hayes.
Sounds silly, but we truly did not expect a corporation to just join us for a campaign.
The song creating so much buzz, it had an impact on Applebee's menu. The company brought back its discontinued Oreo shakes and says it's seeing a spike in sales. And yeah, Bourbon Street steaks are selling too.
We have guests coming to our restaurants because of this advertising, because of this song and these lyrics.
Today, the release of a new music video, a collaboration with pop star Kesha. But every now and
then when I get paid. Shepard, walk with me here for a second to my life, okay? I'm a dad through and through. That's all I am, just a big old dorky dad. I coach football when I can, you know, I'm that guy. But one thing that makes all that cool is that on my cell phone is Kesha. Oh, I don't need no Bentley to impress me. And we're rewriting the verse to Fancy Like, and she did an amazing job.
What's next for you?
I truly don't know. You know, I've got new music in the pipe. It's really hard to put new songs against Fancy Like. I am realizing it's just a phenomenon. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and so I'm cool with that.
Is this the best piece of music you ever made?
No. I guess you could just say it's the most mainstream. You know, it's the biggest bullseye I've ever hit.
Fancy Like.
Fancy Like. The original Fancy Like TikTok with Hayes and his daughter, that has 31 million views. And the Applebee's commercial, 1 billion people have seen it. Incredible. And he told me that his end-all, be-all would be if the million-dollar band at Alabama played it in the stadium. Well, Walker, they played it in the PA system last weekend. And hotty totty. See you tomorrow. You've been listening to the CNBC podcast, The News with Shepard Smith. You can always catch us live weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on CNBC.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.